Patty and Frank show. That's Joe Satriani right there. Is he in the Bristol Farms green room? Get him in here.
Yeah.
Joe just released a full career retrospective box set yesterday.
Look at that.
Joe Satriani, the complete studio recordings. It is a 15 CD library box set. And you can get it for $100,000. I mean, your complete career box set. I mean,
that's not asking people would too pay much,
it.
Is it?
Not asking
no.
too much.
$100,000. Come on.
You can actually get it at HeidiandFrank.com in the Amazon store. And you get your first book coming out, Strange Beautiful Music. It's going to be released on May 6th. We have our copies right here. Are you a little bit OCD?
Yeah, don't tell me. At the end of this segment, you tell me if you think.
After why are you asking that?
When I was reading the book, it says, like, when you first, you caught the fever for playing guitar, and then you would practice, you wouldn't stop practicing. Like, your friends would be going out, and you're like, hey, you know, what
are you? Gotta practice.
We're going to the party tonight. Like, yeah, I'll be there, I'll meet you there. But it's like, you couldn't stop. And I think that's a little bit of OCD to become something, I mean, to be so obsessed with something. And wanted to master it.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. It didn't seem like to me, but yeah, I guess from the outside looking in, yeah, everyone was always telling me, put it down. Come
right.
on.
You're
out.
Good. Down. You're good. You know? You don't need to practice so much. You're
but
good.
People always tell you that. And it's,
right.
It's, you know, your family's going to always tell you you're amazing. And
yeah.
Your friends are like, you're the best.
See, that's why I'm happy I grew up in the family I grew up in, because they were ball busters in that I was never, you know, they never, if I was singing a song, my dad would say, who sings that? And I'd go, Whitney Houston. And he'd say, why don't you let her sing it? My God, it sounds Ooh. Like you have a stomachache.
Yeah.
So, and he'd said that obviously because I wasn't a good singer, but I didn't have those parents that were like, you are just a princess. Everything you do is just sunshine and puppy dogs. So not every family says you're awesome if
That's
you're.
That's a good title for a song, by the way.
You can have it, Joe. Sunshine you can have it.
Dogs.
What would you be doing if you didn't make it as a rock star?
Yeah, good question. I wasn't too good at anything else. I was enthusiastic about, you know, science and math and things like that. I wasn't particularly good at it.
So if you were going to go into witness protection and they were like, okay, what could you fall back on here? So, but you can never play guitar again because you'll be instantly recognized.
Yeah, you know those guys that like wear like hot dog suits or stand on the corner.
Spinning the arrow.
That kind
of
thing. Oh, there's an apartment for rent apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know which direction I'm supposed to go.
I could do that. Something mindless.
Right.
So this box set that you released yesterday includes like 14 studio albums plus some new content, added creations and bonus tracks. I mean, is it weird to look back at the retrospective of like your entire box set right there in one session? I mean, in one box set?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Oh, not terrible, but it's like, okay, this is everything. How do I even add more to this? Because it's so much, and now you're still coming up with new music.
Yeah, but actually it's the opposite. You get the feeling like... And it's even worse for us when we're working on it because we're trading the working files in little USB drives. And so you hold your whole life's work.
This is my whole career.
And you're like,
career.
That's it? This is it?
This little
and,
thumb
and, of
drive.
Course, everything sounds horrible. I mean, at least to me, it's like I just want to go and redo everything.
That's what I was going to ask you,
rewrite
too.
It, replay it, re-record it. Can we remix
I can do better.
It?
I can do better.
You know, and so, but you know, you just got to like let it go.
Did you all agree on the stuff that should go on the stuff, on the CD, on the box set? Or was it like, I don't want to put that
I think
that
so. Yeah. Although, my co-producer, John Cuniberti, who has, you know, made more records with me than any other engineer and producer, he had more, he had the better perspective, I think. He would always tell me, you know, just move on. It's not, you know, your place to decide whether it's good or not. It's just you did it and let me... You know, put it together for you. Don't.
Yeah, you
don't
need to have a good engineer because, like, if you keep trying to stack stuff on it, and it's like, okay, it was good.
Too
it was,
much.
Yeah, too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he's made so many records with me. He knows my personality.
He's like, just Joe, just get out of here. Get out of here.
That I was, you know, being OCD, well, I guess, about it.
It said that right in your book, Strange Beautiful Music, that you would try to play better than you did the day before.
Yeah.
So it's like going back and listening to your entire box set. It's like, oh, I want to go back and do that again. But that was good. That was perfect the way it was. And if you go back and do it again, you're just probably adding more salt to the soup.
Yeah, you just want to keep your fingers in there and just keep stirring it up. But it's better. You need people to just push you and say,
right,
move
go,
on,
Joe,
you
you're done. Go home. Go have a
do
meal.
New stuff.
Right,
That's
yeah.
what John was always saying. Just go move on. Do some new stuff. Let people decide.
When you write
like
this book, Strange Beautiful Music, do you have that? I mean, are there stories that you didn't put in because you were like, I don't want to upset that person. I don't want to make that person mad. I don't want a phone call going, I cannot believe you told the world that story.
Yes.
Yes. Oh. But there are still some great stories in here, but you do, when writing a book, you have to worry about, oh, do I put that in or not?
Well, the thing is that it's not a blog.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not a collection of texts and stories and things like that. It's a book that should be readable. I mean, I think that was the hardest thing, is once we decided it was going to be written in first person, and we had to change the interview style that Jake had originally had pitched to me. We had to decide, well, what's the tone of the book? What's the story that we're really telling? And so then I had to clear a lot of things out. And I had, you know, as my reference, I had lots of books by other rock stars that I had.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like the way
read.
This guy did it. And, you know,
and yeah, because some guys, I thought, you know, the books were like too big, you mm-hmm. know, 800 pages. Others were really short. Some people had compelling stories, like Sammy Hagar. Mm-hmm. I mean, what an amazing story. Stuff that, I mean, I learned stuff about
sure.
him while I was working with
You're
him.
Like,
I'm reading a book in the studio like, really? You know? And then there were other books that I thought by guys who they left out the information about their instrument or their equipment, and I knew that my fans would be interested in that.
Yeah, because you have to
so
try to write.
So it's pretty much the musician's memoir. So it's like, if I'm a musician and I am a fan of yours, but I'm mm-hmm. also a musician, I read this because this goes into the studio and breaks it down in detail, as opposed to just being a fan who wants to know what was going on the tour bus or backstage or stories of Sammy Hagar.
That gets published all the time. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, it gets tweeted. It's on Facebook. Every time I go to do an interview, we're surrendering so much of that kind of information that it's not special anymore.
Right.
And so – and even the – I think the guitar magazines don't dig very deep anymore.
Yeah. And the way music is made today, it seems like this is good, because this is like how it's supposed to be made. In the studio, as opposed to
how it is
how
today.
A lot of music's made today. It's like, hey, you can make it at home on your Mac right here, and it has a different kind of sound than it does being actually in
you
the
guys,
studio.
See, you guys have the advanced copy.
Yeah, see, advanced review
you
copy.
You don't have, though, the color photo section in the middle.
No.
Which is in the hard copy. Yeah, that comes out.
But
I
got to say, you have
May 6th, yeah.
So many great – you've heard of Throwback Thursday, I'm sure.
Yes, yeah.
My God. Oh, Joe, the 1987, the high-waisted jeans with the shirts tucked in. We're rock stars.
Isn't that a look? That is – we had to put that in there. It was
you
just too
to.
Funny.
You have to absolutely
the,
put it
the
in.
The book has been a great opportunity to show as many embarrassing photos as we could. And the hardcover has got 30 pages in there. I didn't hold back on the embarrassing photos.
Oh, yeah, there's some good pictures.
I'm not sure there's anything quite as bad as the shirt tucked in one.
Yeah, the page you turned directly to, 87.
That's right.
87 was bad for everybody.
It looks like an episode of Seinfeld or something that was they cut out or something.
Right, yeah. It was a very Jerry Seinfeld look you had going on.
I know, it's amazing.
Earlier in the show, we were discussing last meals. There was like a list of the most bizarre last meals requested from people on death row, and you know, one guy was dirt and one olive and Cheetos and a Coke. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like those people are truly evil and crazy. If you had to pick your last meal, what would it be?
Oh, all the good stuff that's bad for you.
Yeah,
because who cares?
Because you're a fit and shape guy.
Lobster, steak, all that kind of stuff. That's what it'd be.
Yeah, I think it's unlimited too. I don't think because if one guy ordered like 21 pieces of chicken, two pizzas.
Right.
Oh,
and he had a bunch of sides and 2 gallons of milk. And I mean, it was a whole thing.
Gallons of milk.
It took
him
another 20 years to eat the meal. So he really
screwed
the system
time.
Right there.
I feel like I wouldn't want, I mean, as much as I love to eat, I feel like I would have a bit of a nervous stomach before I'm going to die here in a half an hour.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm really in the mood to eat right now.
Yeah. No. Well, you could always order fugu and have the guy prepare it improperly so you die before they execute
right,
you.
Right, and then you get to experience that. Yeah.
Which is quite good. I don't know if you've ever
had
it, but it is quite good.
You've had it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Hell no.
That's the what? The blowfish that if you don't cook it just right, you die?
Yeah, yeah. I was on the Mick Jagger tour in Japan.
Okay, so you were in Japan. You weren't down at the local
sushi.
That's right,
yeah.
Okay.
But it was Doug Wibish and Bernard Fowler and myself. We went in there and we looked around for a while in the restaurant. We waited to see if anybody keeled over.
Yeah, smart.
But everyone was still, you know, enjoying their meal, so we thought, okay, let's try it.
Now,
and
okay.
So what the taste? I mean,
you get numb, first of all.
You do?
Yeah.
If it's cooked right?
Yeah, if it's cooked right, your lips and your tongue sort of get numb, but then it stops. If it keeps going, they say you got 2 minutes. So
you're telling me you were willing to do, you know, take the risk because this fish is so delicious.
Well, that's what I was told. It was okay.
It was just okay.
Yeah, it was just okay.
It was no long John Silver's, but it was...
Yes, it was kind of neutral. It didn't have much of a taste. So there was. It was mainly a texture and then whatever you were having it with. And they serve it to you raw. They have... They make a tea out of it, and then they have like a shabu-shabu kind of style of it. So you're getting it in three different ways. It was good, and it's a lot of fun. And I think because everyone's a little bit worried,
are you feeling it?
The scene is sort of charged.
Maybe that's
what it
is.
It's electric.
Yeah.
That's a guy thing, I think. I don't think there are a lot of chicks going in there and going, we could die. Oh, my God, let's try it.
No, you're right. Come to think of it, there weren't a lot of women in the restaurant.
No. Yeah. It's not something we're looking to do.
Joe Satriani hanging out with us. He's just released a full career retrospective box set yesterday. The complete studio recordings. It is a 15-CD library box set, and the box set can be purchased at HeidiandFrank.com in the Amazon store. Follow Joe on Twitter, at Chickenfoot Joe. You on the Twitter? You on the social media?
Not that much.
Not really?
No. It's such an invasion of artistic privacy. But
sort of like what you were talking about earlier. If you share there and you share on Instagram, you're sharing everywhere. It's like, a book's not special, right?
That's true.
You're trying to hold some stuff back.
I remember back a few years ago when everyone was, getting very excited about the internet. What are you going to do with it? People kept saying, why don't you set a camera up in your studio and broadcast live as you write and record? And that, that was the worst idea I've ever heard in my life. Because it's almost as if I felt like the walls have been closing in ever since the internet was given to the public. And now the only thing left for me... Right, Joe Satriani. The only thing left for me that's private is when I go into my studio or I'm in my house and I'm writing a song. It's the only time, other than my family, may open the door and look in and tell me to shut up for a while.
I can't imagine anybody putting cameras in their studio.
That's just ridiculous.
And broadcasting live over the internet, which we're doing.
But that's So,
but it's not at home. I don't want to be at home. Be like, oh yeah, you can watch me cook dinner.
The thing now. Watch me cook dinner is the pictures that people post of what they're getting ready to eat.
Yeah.
I cannot stand that when people take a picture of their plate that's like, oh, we just got served and let's take a picture and let's post it on Instagram. I changed it up. I said I want people to post pictures of their plate that they just ate called hashtag happy plate, and I try to guess what you ate.
Ooh.
Based on just
the drippings
on
and
the drippings
smears
and the fork scrapings, then I try to guess what you had.
Nice.
That's much more fun
nice
as far as an internet activity.
Yeah.
Guess what? Sounds like a TV show.
Guess what I just ate.
Yes.
Yeah. That could be really good.
Happy Plate on Fox.
You can take that 30-minute program. It would get kind of gross, come to think of it.
Yeah. That might do well in Japan.
That's right.
They have some weird game shows over there.
Shows. Toilet bowl picks. Well, I don't know. Maybe.
I think you had the blowfish.
With a side of corn? Joe went there. Joe took us down that road.
That's
thank you very much, everybody.
He fits in just fine around here.
Joe, thank you so much for coming in. And be sure and pick up the box set, Joe Satriani, the complete studio recordings, and the book coming out May 6th, Strange, Beautiful Music. Thank you so much for coming in, man.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Jimmy.
We'll be right back. We're Heidi and Frank.